Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for joining me. It's my pleasure. As always, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Did I say that? I think I did. Maybe I didn't. Anyway, you got it twice if I did. You can't get enough of that, can you? And we're, don't forget also our new website, askjim.biz. That's the knowledge base for small business. It's a place where you can go and ask your questions and get answers. And check it out when you get a chance, folks. This is one of my gifts to you. Happy birthday. This is something that we're giving to you. All you got to do is show up and take advantage of it, ask questions. And remember now, this is a baby website. We've only just launched it. There's a lot of stuff there, but we got a lot more to come. So keep coming back and use it to your advantage. My goal is for you to write me one of these days and say, "You know, Jim, what I learned on AskJim.biz turned my business around, and now we're doing great." That's what I live for, and I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. Janet Christie is with us. She has that same attitude. She wants to help business owners, especially women business owners. She works that way, works on that dream and that goal, that mission every day as the founder of her own company, which is Leverage and Development LLC. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. And she's our friend. Welcome back, Janet.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. Janet, what's the news in the area of women-owned business these days?
Well, I've recently been doing a series of workshops for the Chamber of Commerce in Greenville, South Carolina, which is kind of my home base.
Right.
And they were getting so many requests from the larger businesses and the local government entities and state agencies, especially prime contractors for government agencies, including federal agencies, because they couldn't find women and minority-owned businesses that were certified and qualified.
And they needed to be able to do business with those people. They have
yep.
certain requirements, don't they?
They do. So we were doing a series of workshops, two of which were based on my book. One is, Should My Business Be Certified, to help people decide if it's really a marketing angle they can use.
Because going after government business is not for everybody, and or every business model, is it?
No, it's not. And some of the people that signed up or talked to us about coming to the series were people who sold to consumers. And typically that's not somebody that does need to be certified, and that's not somebody that's probably going to move into selling to government. Although, a lot of people don't realize how much the government buys and what a huge list of diverse products and services they use. So it's not for everybody, partly because it's not for the faint of heart, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's for people who don't realize it's an opportunity.
Well, there are some. I've seen a couple of different scenarios here, and I'm sure you have too. I've seen women who started businesses and were floundering around a little bit, weren't doing so well, and then all of a sudden they discovered the government angle. Mm-hmm. And they got busy, and they threw themselves into it, and they got certified. And to be, as a woman-owned business, that they had the credentials that these other organizations, these contractors and these government agencies needed. And they wound up, it literally gave them a new lease on life. And they just went in that direction. And then I have actually known people who founded their business with the sole purpose of getting government contracts.
Yes, I know of both of those examples, too. And one thing that I keep finding is that women and minority-owned businesses don't understand what an opportunity there is for them to be a subcontractor to a prime contractor,
mm-hmm.
the one with the contract with the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people that are really looking for them. As a matter of fact, because of the series that we were doing of these workshops for the chamber, I had a prime contractor that's a general contractor in construction call and ask to meet with me because he wanted their message passed on, because he said, "We can't find them that do construction-type services," and that even includes
right.
cleaning new, construction sites.
Is it so bad that you would actually, I mean, is there such a need, Janet, that you would actually recommend to a woman that she go in a certain direction? If a woman came to you and said, you know, I want to get certified, and but I don't have my own business model. I don't even have my own. I don't know what I want to do. I mean, it's not so bad that you would actually suggest she do something that she's not proficient at, would you?
No, but I do. I have had people come to the workshops. As a matter of fact, usually in my workshops are probably the same ratio applies to people who just contact me for private consulting. But about a third of the people in the workshops are just starting their business.
Right.
And some of them kind of have an idea, and some of them don't even have any idea. But they do know, so they know what they can do, and so we kind of work with that and talk about the opportunities to maybe start a business that would sell to a large business or to government. So there is some steering that's done.
I worry about that angle, though. You know, I gave the two scenarios. The first one was where they already had a business and they decided to go federal or go toward the government contracts and contractors. Or be a subcontractor for those, that business. And then the other kind is the one who founded their company trying to go after that angle. I worry about that second angle because it's almost like they're you know, as you know, Janet, the government is an artificial economy, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the best way I know how to describe it. It's not a real marketplace in a lot of ways. It's almost like Bizarro World, you know, if you remember that old comic book where everything was backwards, you know. But I worry about people who go in that angle, and I know that plenty of people have, and they've been fortunate, and have made it work for themselves. But it's almost like the people who email me and say, "I want to start my business. Where do I get a grant?" You know, and I tell them Grant died.
He did.
Yeah, he's dead. He's not around anymore. He's not going to be able to help you out anymore. But am I wrong about that? Am I overreacting to that?
No, you're absolutely not. And it is scary because there are some consultant type businesses that tell people I can, you know, help you sell to the government and you'll be very successful. And,
oh yeah.
You know, it's like the business who said, send me a dollar and I'll tell you how to make $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. Stand by, Janet. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Janet Christie is our guest. She's a woman-owned business expert. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. And we'll talk about where that's available and her website. We'll give you all that so you can follow up with Janet later on, right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Janet Christie, the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet, tell us where your book's available and give us your website, please.
The website is www.leverageanddevelopment.com, which is the name of my corporation, of course.
Right.
And the book is available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and a lot of local bookstores, too.
Right. Check that out. Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned, and that's Janet W. Christie. And that's Christie, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, with a Y, Christie with a Y. Janet, we're talking about women-owned businesses. What would be, if a woman came to you right now and said, okay, I've got a business that's already, I'm already in business. How do I find out if what I sell is something the government will buy, or it could be part of a, I could be a subcontractor to a government contract through a contractor. How do I find out whether what I have is something that can be sold to the government?
The advice I usually give them for starting out is to look at the local government entities or the state agencies that are in their area and find out what they're buying. And if they're doing construction, then that's probably the fastest way to start doing business with government.
Construction anything that serves the construction industry,
right.
like being a supplier or something like that?
Yes, it could be a lumber supplier. It could be somebody who cleans buildings after they're finished with the construction.
Right.
It could be somebody who, an architect, somebody who does the big blueprints that they use for the printing of those big blueprints. So there's any number of things, but that's probably the fastest way.
So you think construction, of course, construction is the most obvious and probably because there's the most opportunity for women-owned business. It's I mean, clearly, let's be honest, construction is typically not an industry most women go into. I've met many women who are asphalt contractors. I've met women who build buildings. There are a lot of them out there, but most women don't migrate toward that, do they?
No, they don't. And it's kind of interesting because that was really the first venue that they started looking at diversity for any kind of vendor in. Because I think people complained, minorities and women, that there's a lot of money being spent on construction and we're not getting any of it.
Right.
And so they started to diversify and look for ways, and that's sort of how the subcontractor, prime contractor partnerships came about, and now there's even requirements that prime contractors spend a specific amount of money with those subcontractors that are women or minority-owned, so it's definitely an opportunity. The next opportunity would probably be in healthcare fields, but still related to government, like home health care and health care supplies and medical supplies.
And you recommend that they sort of cut their teeth on local and state organizations?
Normally, yes. Now, if they do something very specific that only a state agency like Department of Social Services or the health department would use and local government wouldn't use it, then they've got to do a little more research and, you know, get to those state agencies. But local government gives them a local way to experiment and learn that culture. You know, you were talking about it being bizarro world. It definitely is a different world. So it gives them an opportunity to learn that culture and kind of see how things work without doing a lot of traveling or long-distance calling or long-distance relationships.
Have you found that some people have had success working in the real world and working in bizarro world of the government? I mean, actually existing in both universes?
Well, I'd like to think that I have.
Yeah.
And yes, I have known of some other people because I sold telecommunications to government for about 20 years. So that gave me an understanding and actually is how I started into this evolution of helping other women-owned businesses because I'd had the experience. But it takes a flexible mind or a reversible mind. But it can be done. But you do have to be able to switch from one to the other.
I know people who do both, who do work in both worlds. But it's. But I also know some people who just they get so immersed in the government angle that they just decide they'd rather just go live there, and they find success there.
Yes, and I know some too. But I know a lot of people, myself included, that couldn't do that. You couldn't just work in that world all the time.
I wouldn't want to depend on that. I would rather have a little bit of both. That would be my advice, would be to find out a way to live in the real world and live in the government contract world.
Oh, absolutely, because
I'd want to have diversify. Yeah. I think you're right. Okay, give us where could we go? Now we got your website. Give it to us again.
It's www.leverageanddevelopment.com.
Where do the women have to go to get certified?
It depends on who their clients are, but if they're going to be local government and state government, then every state has a certification for being minority owned and most
or woman owned, which is not the same thing.
Yeah, most of the states include women as minority.
Okay.
Right now, Georgia is the only one.
The federal government doesn't, though, does it?
No, they don't have a certification. There's private certification. So.
Right. It's a lot of stuff you need to understand, folks. And ladies, I'd recommend you check out Janet's book. I think you'll learn a lot about what you need in capitalizing on being woman-owned by Janet Christie. Janet, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Janet Christie, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with our good buddy Ray Keating right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.